Today is the feast of the dedication of St. Michael the Archangel. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the book of the Apocalypse. In those days, God signified those things which must shortly come to pass, sending through his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to whatever he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep the things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace be to you, and peace from him who is and who was and who is coming, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 18, verses 1 to 10. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child to him, set him in their midst, and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoever therefore humbles himself as this little child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such little child for my sake receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it were better for him to have a great millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of scandals, for it must needs be that scandals come. But woe to the man through whom scandal does come. And if your hand or your foot is an occasion of sin to you, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life maimed or lame than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye is an occasion of sin to you, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you, their angels in heaven always behold the face of my Father in heaven." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Before we begin the sermon in terms of the explanation of this feast, we want to read two prayers from the Mass. First is the introit of today's Mass. O God, you direct the ministry of angels and of men in a wonderful order. Mercifully grant that they who always stand before your face, ministering to you in heaven, may also defend our life upon earth. And then the other prayer, which is recited at a high mass like this, and it's recited only at high masses and solemn masses, because it is said by the priest when he is incensing the altar during the offertory, goes like this. Through the intercession of Blessed Michael the Archangel, standing at the right hand of the altar of incense, and of all his elect, may the Lord vouchsafe to bless this incense and receive it in the odor of sweetness. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now the reason we read these prayers, because sometimes they are overlooked, or we forget how important it is in terms of what the angels do for us. Remember that all of the angels existed before the creation of man. God created them first. And it is believed he created them before anything, before the universe, before the earth, because they are immaterial, they are spiritual. So he created beings, obviously lesser than himself, but having the closest resemblance to his being in terms of having no material quality. And then he created the rest of the universe, and the earth, and then finally mankind. But let's review what an angel is and some definitions, because it's good to hear this, to remind us what they are, who they are, and why we have this feast. So the name angel comes from, in Latin, it's angelus, and it signifies not their nature, but their office, their duty, and that is being a messenger. And in fact, it's more of a generic term because St. John the Baptist was called an angel. Even our Lord was called an angel. It's in terms of just a messenger when sent from God. But in terms of just angels themselves, that is what they do. They are ready to obey, do whatever God asks from moment to moment. And if you remember the catechism definition of angels, that they are created spirits without bodies, having understanding and free will. Now, just reason itself cannot prove the existence of angels, because we are material beings and it requires the grace of God, inspiration from God to know that angels exist. However, ancient philosophers and even all of us can in some way deduce that there are angels, because if we believe in God, which is apparent, we just, as a human being, we look around us, we look at the world around us, the universe, the sky, the night sky, the stars, and we see this cannot come from any simple creature. It has to be some great being, and that is God. But with angels, it is fitting that God would create them, because God loves to create, as you've heard before in previous sermons of our Father Superior and the other priests, how God loves to create and in such great variety. Now, this feast of St. Michael the Archangel came about many, many centuries ago, 1700 years ago, because this very date, September 29th, used to be a feast dedicated to all the angels, but then the Emperor Constantine built what's called the Michaelion, it's a great church near Constantinople. And it was pleasing to God that the emperor would do this, because people who had maladies, illnesses, were cured there. So it was a place of being receiving favors from God through the intercession of St. Michael. And the word dedication came about a couple centuries later, and it is believed to be Pope Boniface II or the IV. They weren't sure exactly, but one of those Boniface popes dedicated a church near the Great Circus in Rome to St. Michael, and that's why it's called this feast, Dedication of St. Michael the Archangel. And the Mount Gargano, where there is a church dedicated to St. Michael, that was the original church dedicated to him. Now, why do I go into these historical facts, because every church, every church building of the Catholic Church belongs to God, to the Holy Trinity. But it's put under the patronage or dedication of the Blessed Mother or different saints. And because when the church is first, when it's finished being built, it's called a being dedicated, it's put under the protection of that particular saint. And so this date of September 29th was changed from being a feast of all the angels to especially Saint Michael, the archangel. However, the Mass, the Divine Office, has references to all the angels. So it really includes all the angels, but what the Church did in centuries later is have a feast for the guardian angels on October 2nd. Now we know from the Old Testament, but especially the New Testament, St. Paul, who was inspired by the Holy Ghost to give us the 9 groupings or divisions of the angels. And they were enumerated by St. Gregory the Great and then further divided and categorized by St. Thomas Aquinas. So we have the seraphim, the cherubim, the thrones, the dominations, the virtues, the powers, the principalities, archangels, and angels. And that's a hierarchy of angels because the seraphim are the closest to God. And each of these choirs has different duties, different tasks. And then in each of those choirs or divisions, different angels are given different jobs to do by God, to protect human beings, to keep the order of nature, to keep all the orders or powers and laws of the universe intact. He gives that function to angels. Now, God can do this all himself, but he wishes to have these great angelic beings do it for him. Now, even though the last category, angels, we usually think that guardian angels come from that grouping. And that's probably true, but there are cases where most likely a guardian angel of a particular person may be an archangel. And a little bit more on that in a moment. But we have today, especially honoring and praying to and asking help from Saint Michael the Archangel, whose image is in the back of the chapel. And on this feast, we light the 4 candles next to his image. And I think he's pleased about that, because who even cares about Saint Michael the Archangel or honors him in a special way? Maybe some traditional masses around the world, but very few. And the only other time we light those candles are Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost. So this day is to honor him. And his name, Michael, is translated from that name, means in Latin, quis ut Deus. And in English, it means, in a question form, who is like God? And as you've maybe heard in previous sermons, but as I've said before, I never tire of hearing sermons from the other priests and explanations, because we forget. We get distracted, especially with all of the things in the world and the news and the internet and all this information. It's the information age. And it crowds out what's more important: information about God and the things of God. He was given that name by God because when the angels, all of the angels, and it says that it is into the billions of angels that God created at the first moment when he did that, they were given a test right after they were created. to see if they would obey God. And because they have the ability to grasp a particular truth or information, point of information, completely, they can decide at that very moment what it is, and there's no trying to figure out what it is or misunderstanding or confusion, because God gave them the ability to embrace truth and embrace Him without measure. But they have a free will, just as we do. So when the test was given, the greatest of all angels, who's called the light bearer, Lucifer and many others failed the test. It is believed that they were told by God that sometime in the future, and different theologians have speculated what the test was, but why they fell, that they as angelic spirits would be given something greater than their very being, and that is sanctifying grace, life of God in their souls. But they would have to share it with material creatures, part material, part spiritual creatures, human beings. And they thought, this is completely outlandish. How can we be on the same level with these gifts, this greatest gift from God, with mere creatures that are so weak and so below us? So a great act of pride was the sin. And some have also speculated that it had also that the second person of the Blessed Trinity would become one of these lower creatures, a human being. So that was enough. And the very moment they were created, they're given the test, and Lucifer and these other angels disobeyed. And they were cast into hell, a place believed to be in the center of the earth, created just for the Lucifer and all the evil spirits with him. That was created for them, not for human beings, not for men and women or children. And Lucifer, who thought himself so great, so puffed up with his pride, when he was disobeying God in this great act of defiance, St. Michael says, who can be like God? Like, who are you to think you're like God? And so St. Michael, even though beneath Lucifer in terms of his ability, now that we have all these disobedient spirits, St. Michael led all the good angels and they drove them into hell. To do what? To carry out the justice of God, but to defend God's honor. That's an example for all of us. Do we, in the face of evil or evil people or things we see, do we stand up for God and what's right, or do we cower and give in and, oh, what can I do? Now, obviously, that has to be guided by prudence. But most of the time, I think most people just cave in and don't want to stand up for God or the Blessed Mother or the angels. The other two guardian, or rather archangels that are of note are St. Gabriel. And the servers know, and some people know, inside this doorway, we have an image of St. Gabriel the Archangel. Gabriel means strength of God. And he had, what a beautiful vocation, to appear first to, it's believed, Zachary, in terms of giving him the prophecy and the prediction about St. John the Baptist, but especially when he appeared to the Blessed Virgin Mary at the Annunciation, to come before her, this woman, young woman, maybe 15, and kneel before her Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. He does homage to this creature by nature far below him, but her degree of sanctifying grace is so much. Her nearness to God, her love of God is so great that he is in awe of her, but he has a message from God if she will accept the invitation to be the mother of God. And then the other great archangel, Saint Raphael. Raphael means health or medicine of God. And all that is explained in the book of Tobias, how he was instrumental in helping Tobias and then the son of Tobias, who has had the same name, and cured them and protected them and found a wife for the younger Tobias and all their adventures. But you know what's beautiful is when finally, at the end of the story of Tobias and his son, they thought, we've received so many benefits and help from this man. He appeared to them as a young man. What can we do for you? And at that moment, Saint Raphael revealed, I'm Raphael, who stands before the throne of God. They were struck with such great fear, they fell on their faces and remained there, I think for hours, because not only were they in fear of this great being before them, but most likely you can think how grateful they were to receive such favors from God, to have an angel protect them in all their needs. And why do I mention that? Because that's what we have. We each have our guardian angel next to us. My guardian angel is right here, and it's believed priests have another guardian angel help them in their priesthood. So right before us, there are all your angels here in the chapel. And then every Mass has angels praying at the altar, near the altar, to offer worship to God, especially at the consecration. Because they know, these angels, how valuable the holy sacrifice of the Mass is. They appreciate it. They can't do enough. And they are meant to help us not to be distracted at Mass, to pay attention, to participate, to pray, to ask for sorrow for our sins. And you know, in this, both in the Old and New Testament, how many times the angels were seen, and it's recorded what they, how they function in throughout the first 4,000 years of human existence in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, the angel was at the gate of paradise to hide that after the fall of Adam and Eve. That angel is still there. It's believed that the paradise still exists, but it's kept hidden until the end of time. But the angels led the Israelites. They appeared in Ezekiel's vision. Jacob, the patriarch in the Old Testament, wrestled with an angel. Cherubim protected the Ark of the Covenant. A seraphim, one of the angels of the seraphim, put a coal in the mouth of Isaiah the prophet as a way of purifying him. And of course, it's believed that Saint Gabriel also assisted the Holy Family, especially Saint Joseph, when they're fleeing their enemies when they went to Egypt. And then how can we not mention the great vision of the angels at Christmas. The heavenly host appeared. All these angels in military formation. And they sang the Gloria in Excelsis Deo, which we recite at every Mass. So, finally, what do the angels do for us and what should we do for them? They guard us. That's why they're called guardian angel. Now, they don't control us. We have a free will. But think of it this way. If you're on a journey by yourself that has many dangerous turns and circumstances, but you have an ultimate goal, but you fall into evil or even fall off the cliff temporarily, it is your fault, but when you have a friend with you who has great power and can assist you, and you're on that same journey, and you consent to evil, that's on your head. That's on our head. God is giving us, while honoring the free will He gave us, He's giving us so many helps, actual graces, Mass and sacraments, prayers, the help of the Blessed Mother, and then a protector that's with us 24/7. From the moment we're born until we reach heaven, God willing. It's believed our guardian angels, if we have the misfortune of going to purgatory, that the angel is with us to help us make up for our sins in that place of purification. They are examples of purity, of innocence, of attachment to God and not to the world. They intercede for us. Maybe most of all, the two virtues, humility, because they are, the good angels, are grateful for everything they've received from God. And that's how we should be. And that opposes the great pride and arrogance of Lucifer and the other evil spirits. Especially their love of God, their divine charity that they possess, the sanctifying grace they possess. So finally, pray. Pray fervently at this Mass. But before you do that, say to your guardian angel, help me to be fervent. Help me to be devout all the time, but especially at Mass, at this Mass. Do you know that your guardian angel was instrumental in your coming to Mass today? Everyone here. It's hard to get up in the morning, especially when it's dark now, to do everything in preparation to come here. All that's necessary. But look at the benefits we receive. And this is just the beginning, because it's ultimately to prepare so we fight the fight and continue the struggle to prepare for heaven. Finally, I'm going to read what the prayer that the priest recites at the very end of the Mass, the post-communion. Relying upon the intercession of your blessed Archangel Michael, we humbly beseech you, O Lord, that what we receive with our mouths, we may also possess in our souls. That's the Holy Eucharist. So once the Holy Eucharist leaves us, in terms of the physical presence, we continue having the presence of God in our souls and with the guardian angels and Saint Michael, especially on this day. We can appreciate it and pray to God all the more fervently and to get to heaven. So we can be with Saint Michael, our guardian angels, the Blessed Mother, and God Himself. May God bless you.